It's Advent. That should have been clear from what Rob's presented to us up until now. And Martin has designed a series that incorporates the songs that are recorded in the account of the first Christmas in Luke's Gospel. And today is my turn. And today is the turn of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and his song. It's in Luke, right at the beginning, Luke 2, in fact. And at one point, actually, it would have been impossible for Zechariah to sing anything. And we'll talk about that a bit more later. More of that later. Firstly, let's take a look at a little video that will set the scene.
What do you mean you can't speak? You put that down and talk to me, Zechariah. You went to the temple to burn incense, and now you can't speak. Because you doubted. What does that even mean? You doubted what an angel told you. Oh, now it's all making sense. Are you feeling all right, huh? Maybe you should sit down. Oh, I should sit down. Listen, whatever game you're playing, I really wanted to stop, Zechariah. It isn't funny. This isn't funny, Zechariah. An angel told you this. The angel said that our prayers have been heard. That you, my love, will bear a son. That we will be filled with joy and gladness, and that many will rejoice at his birth. Be like Elijah. He will prepare our people for the Lord. What am I going to do? Oh, I'm too old to be a mother. And you? You can't even speak. Oh, you can't even speak until he's born. Oh, that might not be the worst thing. I can't wait to tell my cousin Mary. We will call him Zechariah, yes?
I love that, because how wonderfully human are these and other responses from Elizabeth and from Zechariah himself. I'm interested, as you'll see, that she was not struck dumb when she voiced very similar concerns to those of Zechariah. It was the cause of his dumbness, but not for her. Very often at this time of the year, we don't pay proper attention to the scriptures that are used because we think we know them so well. So I'm going to encourage you and encourage me to look carefully at this song of Zechariah so that we look at the scripture, see what God's word has to say, what it was that was going on in this place. And we're picking up the story now some months later, and John is 8 days old when we next pick it up. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Now, we're calling it in our series Zechariah's Song, and that's fine because the prophets in Israel did sing, okay? If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see accounts of people coming across prophets on the road, and they were prophesying, we hear. Well, actually, what they were doing was singing as they walked along. They were singing prophetic songs. They were declaring who God is, what God is, how big God is, all sorts of things. So we should not limit prophecy to the foretelling of what is going to happen. That's just a limitation that we put on it, and not the true scriptural meaning of a prophecy. Because it could just be, and well, just be, that's a horrible word to put in front of it. Because it is a bold proclamation about the nature of God and the way he works. And these words of Zechariah that we've just looked at are certainly a proclamation. And he has to do it for two reasons. One, very human, because everybody around him wants to call this baby Zechariah. And he knows that that's wrong. Completely wrong. He has to be John. So that's one reason. But he also, I guess, through this at least 9 months of silence, has contemplated what all of this means. Just as an aside, you know it's always supposed to be women who do a lot of talking, right? Well, I've had the privilege to work in other societies. And down in Zambia, one of the tribes down there used to have a special hut for the men to go and talk. But Zechariah's learned to be quiet. Well, he had to, didn't he? He was struck dumb. And he's sort of appreciating now, I think, he's been given this opportunity to think about what all of this means. We saw earlier that Zechariah confessed to Elizabeth that he had been struck done because he did not believe what an angel told him. Not just any angel either. You see the declaration there? If you read the passage before, you'd find out that it was an archangel, somebody who stood in the very presence of God, and yet Zechariah didn't believe him because he thought it was impossible. So we're going to play a little game of hindsight questioning of Zechariah, okay? Just a little game of hindsight questioning. We're going to ask him three questions. Do you believe? What do you believe? And why do you believe? That's going to be what we're going to be about now. And, of course, I've got the advantage. He's not here. So I'm going to speak his words and just hope I get it somehow right. And I hesitate to say this, but somebody could always strike me dumb if I get it wrong. Okay? So, first of all, do you believe? Do you believe Zechariah? Well, I think he might reply, well, I do now. But at the time in the temple, I just couldn't get my head around what the angel was telling me. That's the reason I didn't believe then. And then I received, this is Zechariah speaking, I received a real telling off from the angel. And you know what? It was my fault that I got the telling off. He was there in the temple and he just gave me both barrels and suddenly I couldn't speak. Have a thought about that. You know, suddenly. And when he came out of the temple and they all asked him what had gone on and he went. He couldn't speak. Okay, Zechariah, will you believe what God tells you in the future? Well, yes, I will if he sends any more angels. Now, what about you and I? Do we believe what God says? Let that sink in a little bit. Do you believe what God says? Because the quick response is, of course I do. But do you? It's a bit like, how are you? And how are you really? Which I used before. Yes. Do you believe what God says? Do we think that we are different from Zechariah? And we would always believe any messenger from God? Really? We would. Jesus told his audience once that they would not believe even if someone came back from the dead. He told them that. And tragically, of course, that came true and continues to be true. And that's awful. But are we really so different? You see, Luke's gospel is just one part of a book written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and yet we often do not believe what is written there. And I'm speaking to us as Christians, not as other people who have the excuse at least of saying, well, I don't claim to be a Christian, so I don't believe what Scripture says. We claim to believe, and we need to believe what is written there. The book is full of promises, just as spectacular as a resurrection, but we still don't always believe. We doubt. We doubt those promises. We don't walk in the expectation that those promises will come true. And that's tragic. You see, even those of us who believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world still struggle to believe that our God will save anyone, anyone who believes. President Assad and his father were what we might call evil people, right? And the current president appears to have done a runner, and nobody knows where he is. Well, they think they know where he is. They think he's in the UAE, but the UAE says, we don't know. Do they? Oh, well, there you go. The point I want to make about him is, do we believe that he can be saved? Because Scripture says he can. The direst evil person in the world, whoever they are, and I don't want to single out an eye surgeon trained in the UK, because that's what he is as well, by the way. Do we believe that anyone can be saved? The kid who nearly runs you over in the street just out here on his scooter on the way to deliver his little package of drugs. Do you believe he can be saved? Yes, but it's hard, isn't it? So careful, you might get struck dumb. That's the danger, isn't it? Because surely not those more evil than me can be saved. That's what we think. We've got to start believing. Believing who can be saved, but believing the promises of God as well. Then we will ask Zechariah, what do you believe, Zechariah? Well, I believe, he replies, the Lord, the God of Israel, has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. And that's written in the book that we read. This celebration that we enter at this time of the year is the fulfillment of prophecy. God promised to send a Savior. And he did. The tragedy of so many is that they missed it, right? The tragedy of God's own people is so many of them missed it and continue to miss it. And the tragedy of our own country is that we miss it. And we are busy doing away with the way we run the country in the way of God, because we've missed it. Because this is the story of Christmas. God sent a Savior. He has visited and redeemed his people. So what do you believe? What do I believe? Well, the church has a way of summarizing this. It's called the Apostles' Creed, and it was decided on actually not that long after Jesus walked the earth, a couple hundred years perhaps. They wrote it down so that we could all get our heads around it. So, be open. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do you? Yes, because you didn't say amen, did you? That was the point where you were supposed to. Yes, I do believe that. One of the challenges that we have as a Christian church in this country currently is a movement away from biblical truth. Now, those are not scriptures that I just read you. They are the way that the church fathers, almost 2,000 years ago, wanted to write down what they saw as biblical truth. It's all taken out of Scripture. It is all in Scripture. Do we believe it? Because we are straying away from it currently. You know, there's so much worry today about artificial intelligence, AI, and if we will know the truth in the future. That's the bother. Will we know the truth? We should be very panicky about it. That's what we're told. Do you know what? I actually worry much more about Christians and their adherence to biblical truth than I do about AI. Because I think that's much more damaging. Now, if you're still exploring Christianity, then that is an honorable and honest position. But what I have shared there is the position of the church for 2,000 years and completely founded on scriptures. It's a belief, that Apostles' Creed. I confirm my belief in these words in this church, in baptism, and lots of you have done the same. I confirmed it again when I joined the University Christian Union. You have to sign it on the bottom. Sorry? Yes. Do you still have to? I don't know. Have we got any students in? No, I could have asked. When we joined Tier Fund, we had to say, yes, we believe in these truths. And I still stand by them. And I'm happy to proclaim them this morning. And I hope you are too. And if not, look at them again, because that's the truth. And then our third question to Zechariah, why do you believe? Well, Zechariah could honestly reply, well, I met with an angel. I met with an angel, and what he said came to pass. My old wife, Zechariah, be careful now. My old wife bore and birthed this little boy, and I sired him in my old age. Incredible. So I do believe. That's why. But what about you, Chris? Well, we actually had an experience of an angel. I think I've shared this with you before, so forgive me for that. Our angel guarded our house while we were in Tanzania. Now, our angel took the form of a dog. Not being insulting, this is true. We were praying for protection from robbery because it was quite common where we were. And we prayed for protection, and every night a dog turned up and guarded our house. And every morning that dog went away. And we did not feed that dog, but he always came. Until a night or two before we left the country for good, and our dog disappeared. Now, we believe that was our angel. He didn't tell me anything, by the way. Okay? I like to think I would believe if an angel told me something. But of course, the angel had to speak to Zechariah because he didn't have all of the scriptures that we have. He had his law, he had the Torah, and he knew it well, I'm sure. But he didn't have everything. We have everything, right through to Revelation. So what we've got to ask ourselves is, do we believe it? I keep asking you that question because you need to consider that question. God was very gracious and helped me to believe in salvation through Jesus. The scripture says that faith itself is a gift of God. He gives it to us. Now, I've continued to believe as I have seen lives transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've never seen a resurrection. I did hear of one when we were working overseas from reliable sources, but I've never seen one. I don't think I've met with an angel, but I can't be sure, other than the dog, I mean. Because how would I know exactly unless the angel said, I've come from God to tell you something. But what I do know is that if we want to believe and we ask God for the faith to believe in those promises in Scripture, and particularly this morning in the promise of salvation through Jesus, then we can and we will. Years and years ago, when I was about 11, I was working with my uncle in a house, it's sort of near Five Ways. It was owned by the people that make chapel pianos. It's a very tall house. Goes up, although it's only two floors, they are very big floors. Yes, about twice the height of our house in Pembroke Road. And my uncle said, you will be perfectly safe if you climb this ladder to the top of this house. And you'll be safe because I've made it safe for you. And I trotted up the ladder at the age of 10, right to the top of the building. In that sense, I had faith in the words my uncle spoke. So the question is, do we have faith in the God who continues to speak to us today? Because, you know, it's not only do you believe and why do you believe, but I want to present to you this morning that we all need to believe. Zechariah was struck dumb because of his lack of faith. Faith and obedience released his words, and those words were a prophetic proclamation of truth. God was and is reliable and faithful. God delivers on all his promises. Now, Zechariah made a bad choice, and he made a good choice. The bad choice was to question God's messenger. This messenger was an ambassador for God. His words were God's words. And we have God's word, don't we? Written down, and we have a choice. We can accept them as truth, or we can argue with them. That's our choice. Zechariah made a good choice. God gave him a son. And he could have basked in the glory of that by naming him Zechariah. He could. Think of this. He and his wife, Elizabeth, had lived a long time as a married couple, and she was barren. They had no children, and that brought them shame. That might even indicate sin in their lives. Even though he worked at the temple, it might indicate that something was wrong somewhere because God had not blessed them with children. That was how it was viewed for them. So Zechariah could have just enjoyed the fact that suddenly he has a child. And when they were all going, and let's name him Zechariah, he could have said, yeah, that'll be my legacy, won't it? That'll be my legacy, a son called Zechariah. But he said, no, I don't want that legacy. That's not the command that Scripture that God has given me, sorry, that the angel gave me. The command was you will call him John. That will be my legacy. And what a legacy. 2,000 years on, we're reading it. His statement about John. And he must have repeated that to John, don't you think? So that John understood his role as he grew up. You will make the way for the Savior. What a role. Of course, we have that role as well, don't we? We have the role of preparing the way for the Savior. Because actually, that's what you should be busy with this Christmas. Not cooking. Although on Christmas Day, I will cook, honestly. But that shouldn't be our central concern. Our central concern should be making the way for the Savior, proclaiming the Savior. Take every opportunity. That's all I can ask you to do. Choose your Christmas cards that actually include something about Christmas on it. That doesn't say happy holidays or something else. Have you noticed that Advent calendars are no longer advertised as Advent calendars? You not notice this? Have a look. If you go on Amazon to order an Advent calendar, you'll be lucky. They are there. I'm not saying Amazon doesn't sell the real thing, but they're not called that anymore. They're to do with, I don't know, holiday dates or something. It's a bit like the lady selling dates at the Christmas market in Bath. They were covered in chocolate and looked really nice. But that's not Christmas. Choose your Christmas cards. Choose the whatever you put in your window to celebrate the coming of the Savior, because we're there to make the path straight for Him. We're there to open it up for other people. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? We need to make sure we're doing that. We need to make good choices. You, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. And I dare to say to you that those words are addressed to you this morning. You will prepare the way for the Lord. Now, we can't do it. We can't make people Christians. But we can certainly open up the pathways, right? We can certainly help. It's the Spirit of God that changes people's minds and hearts. Of course it is. But are we praying for that? Are we praying for the people that we find most difficult this Christmas? Uh-oh, we've got to meet the family. We've got to be nice to each other. Yes, you have. Because that's what God would have you do in terms of preparing the way. So, I got another video to finish. Sorry, I've been a bit long. This, I hope, will launch you into the job you've been called to do.